Last week we started in a series on grace.
All right, yeah.
Last week we started in Galatians and we got to meet Paul. And the brother that I asked to join me in this series, I had presented a portion in Galatians for him, but my desire is to see that whoever is asked to come and share with you, that they follow the Holy Spirit. It ain't about me.
Right.
It ain't about you. And right. I know ain't's not a word. But it's not. It's not. It's about the King of Kings.
Right.
And this brother was, by the Holy Spirit, guided into a different area of Scripture.
Awesome.
And I don't know. I know that he would want all glory given to God. I know this. I know this from the bottom of my heart. But I also know that many of you that have attended Cafe are already aware of the treasure in our midst. But I want to introduce the whole body to a brother that knows our King. He knows our King. And he's got a message to share with each one of you to continue in this grace series. So I'd like for you to give it up for our King as our brother Dave Ferguson comes forward to lead us.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Good morning. Yes, sir. That's correct. As always, I thank God for any opportunity to share His word. I hope I'm speaking loud enough. I want to thank Pastor Dave for extending one of his Sundays that I might do so. And I'm appreciative of you here in attendance as well. Let's go to God for a word of prayer. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Lord, we thank You for Your presence and for Your power. We thank You for Your word. We ask that as it goes forth, it might do so with Your anointing and find a resting place upon every heart that's here. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ and for His sake. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43 and verses 16 through 21. Isaiah chapter 43 and verses 16 through 21. And Isaiah writes, "Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water to the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I form for myself. Why? That they might declare my praise." And from that passage, we want to consider for the next few minutes a new thing. God's continuing grace. I hope it's okay. I'm not one to be stationary. I I like to walk. Romans 6:23, Paul says, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Everyone who has ever been employed or you're currently employed, whatever your pay period is, if it's day labor, weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, at the end of that pay period, you're looking for something. What are you looking for? Looking for your paycheck. Well, sin says, hey guys, listen. I'm a good employer also. I pay wages. If you work for me, I will pay you. Only one problem. The wages are death. A ceasing of life. We find that because of continuous centuries of continuous idolatry and disobedience, both Israel and Judah suffered death. We find in 2 Kings chapter 17 that Israel, the northern kingdom, and I love how Isaiah presents himself, and God is just so awesome, because in Isaiah chapter 5 verse 26, God says, because of the sin and iniquity of my people, I will whistle. I've never known how to whistle. My sisters could whistle better than me. But God says, I will whistle for a nation far away from you just to come and chastise you. Second Kings chapter 17 tells us that the Assyrians came and deported the northern kingdom out of Israel and into a different land. How do you lose what God has given you? A centuries-old promise stemming back from the days of Abraham. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. And now God gives you this land and you blow it. How many of us sitting here today, we've done that? God has given us a word of promise. Or we've been trusting Him for something, and He delivers. He comes through on it. But because of sin and disobedience, we mess it up. The Assyrians come and take the northern kingdom away, and we never hear from Israel again, the northern kingdom as they were. The only thing that came out of that were the Samaritans. And that's a whole other chapter of history. And you would think that the southern kingdom, Judah, would have learned the lesson. They had 200 years to contemplate what had happened to their brothers in the northern kingdom. Hey, we need to get our acts together. Let's stop this now. I knew a brother some time ago. He had been addicted to cocaine. And he got delivered. And for 2 years, he was clean. And then he decided, let me try this one more time. This time, and from the report, he didn't get any cut stuff, street stuff. He got some pure, good stuff and blew his heart apart. Just blew him up. His body could no longer take it. He blew it. God delivered him, but it wasn't good enough. He had to try it one more time. The wages. The wages. Despite the fact that God's people are now in exile because the Babylonians came and deported the southern kingdom and took them to Babylon. And in our text now, this is where they are. They are still in exile. But despite that, God had not permanently kicked His people to the curb. He still had a plan for them. Thank you, Lord. He wasn't through with them. And what God begins to do now, as that plan had already begun to unfold, what God begins to do now in verses 16 and 17, He begins to rehearse for them some of their history. In essence, God says, you remember the Red Sea, don't you? You thought it was going to be a massive grave on the beach with your bodies in the grave. That's what you thought. But I had another plan. I had another plan. And what was the results? The results were what you knew to be certain death. It turned out to be a very watery grave for your enemies. It was a new life for you, but a watery grave for your enemies. And this is interesting. He tells them in verses 16 to 17 on this glorious deliverance that He had instituted for His people. And then in verse 18, He says, but forget that. Don't think about the former things, the old things. Don't get stuck in the past. You know, don't get caught up with this, we've always done it this way. Is anybody here like that this morning? You get stuck in the past. You can't focus on going forward because you're so caught up with what has been. And God doesn't want them like that. And so He tells them in essence, you know, I want you to forget that. Now, understand something. There are some things in our past that we need to remember. There's some things in our past. Maybe some of you sitting here this morning, you need to make a phone call based upon something that you've done in the past to confess your sin to someone. Hey, I'm sorry. I messed up. I'm the one who blew this. You know, now if you got that mindset, hey, well, I'm sorry, but if you hadn't done this, no, you sit down. You're not ready yet. You're not ready. I'm talking to hearts who know they messed up and they want to get it right. Write the letter confessing it's my fault. I'm the sinner. Forgive me. That's what God wants. Not a heart that justifies my wrong and sin. That's not true repentance. Some of you might need to do that. I work in the front office. At Wayside, front office at Wayside. And there are some young brothers there who are still on the program. And they began to reminisce about the past. And their reminiscing consisted of nothing but the streets. Gang war this, drug this, he shot them here, and they got killed here. And they just went on. And I'm sitting back behind them. It's like, at first it was like, okay, you know. But then they just kept on. They wouldn't stop. And literally that spirit took over. And it's like, I just got sick. Hey, stop! Is there something else you can talk about? Something that's more constructive, something that's edifying. I'm sick of your gang talk. They were stuck in the past. Stuck in the past. It's okay every now and then. I love to hear my brothers play because it makes, you know, I reflect when I first really started listening to rock music. The first rock concert I went to was Grand Funk Railroad. Okay. I mean, I grew up in the black community, Temptation, Miracles, we saw all of those. But now, here, I see three young white boys on stage banging it out. And I'm saying to myself, yes, that's for me. And I can imagine God saying, yeah, right. Yeah, right. I mean, they were just blowing it up. But I'm not talking about rock music every time I open my mouth. And I still enjoy rock music. My first Christian rock concert, somebody told me, you got to hear this group Skillet. 2010, I went to hear Skillet. Black Sabbath and Kiss got nothing on Skillet. Nothing. But I enjoy all types of Christian music. And I have to say, like Pastor Randy, I'm not into the hip-hop. I haven't. But then let's look at verses 19 and through 21. Because the reason God doesn't want them to get stuck in the past, he says, I am doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. My question to you this morning is, first, let me just ask the question regarding verse 18 about the past. What is it about the past that you can't or won't let go? It constantly comes up. You're holding on to it. And I understand because, you know, it's like around 2010, some things were happening in my life, and to this day that I can't understand. It's like, God, why? I mean, I was crushed, broken. I mean, hurting. Let me just tell you, there were times I literally cried. And I couldn't understand, God, what is this? Why? I didn't ask you for this. I didn't orchestrate this. You did this. And I'm going to tell you guys, I'm the type of person, I don't have a Pollyanna Christianity. Everything is always praise and glory. There are times I hurt. There are times my heart is broken. I'm crushed. There are times I want to say the P word, off with God. And I let him know it. And so when I come across these Christians, everything, you're not supposed to question God and praise him for everything. It's like, man, go sit down. Because you don't know my story. You don't know what, maybe with your little pitiful life, you can praise God all the time. You know, I've heard this a couple of different times. Someone will say, well, God always answers my prayers. And they don't know I'm saying to them, poor thing. Because what you are saying is that you are not growing. Because God is not going to always answer your prayers, not in the way that you want. And then there's sometimes you're going to pray and it will be months. There will be this long expanse of time and you don't hear anything. And you are wondering spiritually, does God know my address? Does he know I even exist? And you got the audacity to say, he always answers my prayers. Grow up. When a baby cries, everything drops. We're going to see about the baby. 10-year-old cries, boy, get over it. Okay? Grow up. And so there's some things back there that I'm still waiting to see how God is going to make sense with. And that what was crushing me and hurting me back there, God is going to use that in my future in some kind of great way. It's just a matter of time. I have to trust him. But now he says in verse 19, I'm doing a new thing. And look at his tense. He says, I am right now. Present tense. Not I'm going to, not I shall. I'm doing it right now. But I love the latter part of that verse. I love it so much. He says, can't you see it? Can't you see what I'm doing already? Can't you see it? Now, my question to you is, what is God doing in your life? That's the first question. The second question is, can't you see it? Let me read something right quick because there's a point I wanted to make. He says in verse 19, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. That's what I want to go on. Now it springs forth. Can't you see it? Is it possible that you are looking for God to do something grand, which he may be, but you're looking at the wrong thing for today? He says, I am doing a new thing right here and right now today. You might be looking for the full-grown oak tree, which is not there, but you are totally ignoring the acorn that's at your feet right now. You might be looking for your published book, which is not published, or waiting for a computer so you can write the book when you pass by every day your child's simple school supplies, an ink pen and paper. Sit down and write. You're looking for the big stuff. God is saying it's springing forth. I'm not promising you a California redwood today. I'm promising you just a little shoot, a little bulb. Don't you see it? Don't you see it? It's right there. And so I'm not going to ask you, what are you looking for? I'm going to ask you, what do you see? Right now, what do you see? And the fact that God asked the question, don't you see it? What does that mean? It's already there. It's already there. He's doing a new thing. 20 and 21, I'm going to summarize. Because now God is saying, he's talking about wildernesses and deserts. And God is saying, from where you are right here today, from to where I want you, is not going to be an easy journey. Now, we can talk about, you know, coming from the north back to the south to the promised land, wilderness, desert, or coming from Egypt, the south, coming up north to the promised land, wilderness and desert. But let's talk about us. God is saying that where you are today and where I want you whenever, when, is not going to be an easy journey. First chapter of Joshua. First chapter of Joshua. God says, first verse, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now arise, get up from where you are, get up and cross this, he says, Jordan. But he says, get up and cross this barrier. Get up and cross this obstacle. Get up and cross this hindrance. In other words, God is saying, whenever I call you to something, don't, you know, I'm not promising you a flowery bed of ease. I'm not promising you shady green pastures. You're going to have to go through something, but don't fear, because not only am I your guide, I'm also your provider. I'm going to make sure you make it from point A to point Z. I'm going to make it because I'm the God who told you to go there. And when I tell you to go somewhere, trust me, if you're obedient, you're going to make it. First generation Israel could have made it. They could have made it. They were disobedient. Now, look at the blessing. Again, we can talk about, he says the animals, they're going to praise God. And we know, read the 8th chapter of Romans, you know, when man is finally redeemed, creation is going to be redeemed as well. Now, all of that good stuff. But again, we're talking about you and me. Isaiah is saying, God is saying through Isaiah, that when I bless you, everyone around you will be blessed. It's going to be a testimony. God does not bless you and me so we can be proud, thinking, look at what I got. It's for those around us. And that's what God wants here. He is doing a new thing. And as I close, let me tie it in. That's where we end, where Pastor Dave began, talking about grace. Because get this, everything that God is doing and going to do, they didn't deserve any of it. We heard testimonies, still praise reports this morning. They don't deserve any of it. I'm praying for Jimmy to get his 1 point some million. When God does that, it's not because he deserves it. When they open the restaurant, reopen it, it's not because they deserve it or earned it or merited it. It's all because of God's goodness. And His goodness wanting to bestow it upon His children. That's divine grace. And that's what we're striving for. And with that, I'll say thank you.